This is a HeadGum Original.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Keep your eyes on the road, cowboy.
Are you nervous?
He did the stare and drive on you, didn't he?
He got that from me.
What's his deal?
I got a problem with authority.
You just need to chill out.
You ready for this?
Come on, man. Guns, murderers, and crooked cops. I was made for this, bro.
Okay, so I'm Nicole Byer. My co-host right now is John Gabris, because Lauren has to sit this season out because she's got things on her plate.
She's got busyness, as we called it in episode one, out of fear of like, is she talking about it yet? So we'll just say she's super busy.
She's busy. Well, you don't want to scoop a newborn, you know?
No, no.
That's her news to tell people she made a whole human being.
Yeah, that's all her party, man. That's not our party. Because I'm not doing that shit over here. I need to be available to co-host newcomers because you're covering a series of movies that are my favorites.
Ooh, baby, we're covering the Fast and the Furious franchise. And we're going to have guests that will sometimes be the newcomer. Sometimes I'll be the newcomer. So I gaslit myself. I realized this watching Too Fast, Too Furious. Never once have I laid eyes on this movie. I thought I watched the whole series.
Last week, you were confidently telling me that I think I've seen almost all of them. Maybe I missed the Tokyo one. And then text me 1 minute into this movie going, I've never seen this movie.
Never once in my life. It was so wild. So, okay, this is the second episode of the fourth season. There are 10 episodes. We're going to cover all 9 movies along with Hobbs and Shaw, which I have seen. And today we're talking about Too Fast, Too Furious, released in 2003. And it's available on DVD, a subscription to HBO Max. You can watch it on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, or Vudu for some money. There's going to be fucking spoilers because we're talking about a movie.
Yeah, we're talking about a movie that is old. If you're listening to a podcast about a movie, you should just understand that it's going to get spoiled at this point. Don't click. If you're listening to a podcast about fucking McDonald's fries and these motherfuckers spoil the end of Tomorrow War or some shit like that, then you could be mad. But I don't know what hypothetical podcast I'd even be talking about in that moment.
I mean, what a great segue, because our guest today hosts a hypothetical podcast just like that. It's Nick Weiger, Mike Mitchell. Weiger's a comedian, writer, producer, has written for At Midnight, I Love You America, and co-hosts the podcast How Did This Get Played? Mike Mitchell, ooh, Mitchy Mitch Mitch, is a comedian, writer, and actor who's a appeared in Love, and most recently, the blockbuster movie that he is the lone star of, The Tomorrow War. Together, they come together, they eat, and they have a funny podcast called Doughboys. Welcome, Weiger and Mitchy.
Thank you for having us. We're very excited to be here.
What a treat.
Were you doing a Nick Weiger impression there?
Hey, how you doing? I'm happy to be here. Sorry.
Thank you. Very excited. I'm excited. Thank you.
Too charismatic.
You can't say that a movie is old anymore because the movie old, it would it doesn't count anymore, Gabriel. So you have to say a movie is dated.
Oh yeah, if you say that movie dated. Is old, people go, I know, I saw the M. Night Shyamalan movie old. It's like, no, I'm saying the movie is old. Yes, I saw the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Who's on first that lasts one line. That's
but
it.
What is that movie about? Is it about a white person who went to the beach too long and they got fried up and became a skeleton? What is it about?
It's about stolen it's stolen DVD players, which is kind of weird that that's the
There is a guy named Midsize Sedan in it. There's a rapper named Midsize Sedan.
Okay, well now we technically are spoiling
true?
A new movie.
That is true that there is a rapper
named Midsize Sedan.
He introduces right. like there's a point where the woman goes, "I think that's Midsize Sedan," which is such a funny rap name.
That is great. Very funny. And is that's it for really comedic good. Effect or is it said very seriously?
Not sure.
It's hard to tell with M. Night. He kind of walks the line there a little bit.
By the way, how ironic is it that Lapkus isn't here because of family when you're doing this a series all about family?
I mean,
you've talked about this, right?
Yes. It's a movie series about family. Yeah.
All right,
we've
just
talked
making
about
sure.
it.
All right, good.
Well, the real crazy thing is that Lapkus, like Vin Diesel, may have been around for the founding of the Newcomers podcast, but they are out. And in this, they bring in two fresh-faced young people like you two, one handsome and then one comic relief in Roman. I'll put the quotes around comic relief there for my man Roman, who is the best comic relief throughout all the movies, but again, that is not a huge trophy to hold on to.
Also, a hunk himself, Roman, is
absolutely
a baby boy. Is a hunk.
Jesus Christ. He's so hot, but it gave the movie just a different feel than the first one. I was like, this is like a buddy comedy now, as opposed to like a gritty. I mean, I truly think the first one is an indie. I think it's a gritty indie that's like grainily shot in the streets of L.A. And this is like, boop, 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 boop. We in Florida now where the play is play and the water's cold. I don't know. I was trying
it really,
to.
It really is a solid where the water's cold. Famously, bienvenidos a Miami. Hace frio. This movie is a classic sequel in that it's like, okay, how about the cars are brighter and the background is brighter? And that's the movie. And it is truly like a heightened movie. It just doesn't follow the same. It forces the same plot on the movies where it makes way less sense. It's like, you're not a cop or undercover or a criminal. And it's like,
yeah. If you're a real improv nerd, it's as if someone else stepped out to do your second beat and you have to watch on the back line going, "Harumph, I had a good idea."
Oh, I know that feeling all too well.
I've never been on the back line during an improv show.
I think it was a good decision to have Tyrese not be just like another version of Vin Diesel, because that would have been like the obvious thing of just like, okay, we'll bring in another sort of, you know, tough, kind of stoic, like badass. And we'll be like, this guy looks like a badass, but he's kind of a goofball. Mm. And then that later creates room for the two of them to coexist. Because I think if you just try to Vin Diesel, it's just going to be like, well, I just want Vin Diesel.
Sure.
Yeah, I think letting Tyrese bring his own thing to the table I think it's the best thing about this movie, honestly.
Yeah, and Tyrese is great in this movie, and he's not the fully realized Roman character that we see.
No,
right.
Because he changes so frequently from the movies. He's a scaredy cat sometimes, a total badass sometimes, and then when we get to 9, he's also sometimes a meta commentator on the making of films.
Is he always hungry, though? That seems like an affectation that always carries over. Yes,
he's stayed like, hungry.
You gotta stay hungry.
I love that they explained why he eats so much. It truly did. It seemed like these just started rolling, And like they didn't like, you know, call cut. And then he was literally like, why are you eating in every scene? He was like, yeah. Oh, it was part of my character. I went to jail and the food wasn't good there. And I was like, okay, cool.
It's a fun character trait that I haven't seen in a movie before. Like I relish in food because I went without it for so long. But yeah. At the same time, he steals a fucking cigar cutter from a dude's pocket.
he is so much more wild in this than he. This is a huge movie in the Fast and Furious franchise for Ludacris and Roman, who's yes. Tyrese and Tyrese. Yeah. They're a huge part of this franchise.
And I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize because I was just like, oh, they're side characters. Because I truly have seen the first one and like the seventh one. So I was like, oh, they were just added in, peppered in, little sprinkles. And I was like, no, Tyrese was like a huge character.
Yeah.
I would be so mad to be like, oh, so Vin's back and now I have to take a fucking back seat? Squeeze me?
He's not mad because of that cash. By the way, because he's made millions and millions of dollars just being a goofball. But Vin Diesel, he was offered $25 million to return for this movie, and he said I read a bit about it, and after he read the screenplay,
did research.
I did.
This is more than you've ever done for your own podcast. This is thrilling.
He decided to appear in the Chronicles of Riddick instead, which by the way is a sequel to what is it?
Pitch Black.
Pitch Black. Thank you. Which also stars the villain of this movie.
Cole Hauser,
and I'm a Cole Hauser. I'm a Cole Hauser fan, even though I'm kind of not sure of what his character is. We'll get to
Cole Hauser, who I think is doing Latino face.
I think he's
maybe
supposed to be Latino.
Yes, I was very confused by that. I was like, you're definitely a white man.
Yeah, well, you're definitely like right. An Irish white man, like a real like a redhead with his hair dyed black.
Yeah.
So Tyrese does an impression of him at one point, and it's like in a Latino accent. And I'm like, right, yeah. What? Like, hold
yeah,
on. I was like, what the
very
fuck
confusing.
Is
wrong?
His name is Varon.
but
cast a Cuban actor. I mean, just put a Cuban person, a Cuban American.
This is 2003, baby.
I didn't get the memo yet.
He was offered $25 million, and he said that. This is what he said. He said they didn't take a Francis Ford Coppola approach to it. They approached it like they did the sequels in the 80s and 90s when they would drum up a new story unrelated for the most part and slap the same name on it.
And but he's kind of right there.
He's kind of right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's principled, yeah.
I kind of like it, and I also think at the same time he should have done it. I mean, who cares about Chronicles of Riddick? But I like where his head's at, for sure.
I will say that the uniqueness of Vin Diesel is a big part. I'm sure you'll talk about this over the arc of the series of this season of newcomers, but it's like the uniqueness of Vin Diesel as a movie star and as kind of like an eccentric is part of what makes this whole thing works, that he would walk yes. away and later come back lets them build this gigantic expanded universe before anyone was building expanded universes. It's like inadvertent, like, well, now we've got Tyrese and Ludacris in here, and we got to figure out how to make everyone work all together. So I don't know, it's kind of inadvertently to its benefit, but he's right that part two is, and I think kind of the series in general until it eventually hits its stride, and I'm far from an expert on the Fast and Furiouses, but it's like kind of mercenary, right? It's like Singleton comes in, the screenwriters come in for part two, and they have no other participation in the franchise beyond this one entry. It's like this is just kind of a one-off for them.
Yeah. Well, I think Singleton was a great choice for, well, I got to say this too, besides those two new characters, this also kind of introduces the element of, hey, now we're in Florida. Like, this is now, like, Fast and the Furious is a travel franchise. We're going to go all over the place. We're going to go, this is going to span worlds, and then, you're going to see a lot of different locales. But Singleton is just good because we were talking about this before the pod started, but first of all, for bringing Tyrese in. But then also, I think he just kind of gets the vibe of what the movies are supposed to be a little bit in you know, he did Baby Boy, and he gets what people love about these movies.
This movie though at the time though, like this is the first sequel. Like it's not like this was an existing franchise.
Sure, no, but he loved the first. He was a big fan of the first
movie. Fan of the first one. Yeah,
and he gets like racing. He gets like street racing culture. That's what he said. And like urban culture. I mean, he did Boys
the
in the Hood.
The fact that Singleton is blessing the Fast and the Furious franchise,
yes.
Like after the first movie's directed by that guy who's kind of, you know, and also ran, like, you know, mercenary director, it was Rob Cohen, whose name is Casey.
Yes.
And now this one's fucking directed by Singleton. That's a huge plus up.
Boys in the Hood and Baby Boy, which we were talking about Baby Boy before the show started.
I mean, we're talking Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice, Higher Learning, like all the movies that I was watching in junior high, like that. These were like the cool movies, and he directed all of them. And then comes, and I don't know any of this when I go to see Too Fast in the theaters. I'm just think I'm going to see. I don't even know fully because back then you wouldn't even know that Vin wasn't attached or whatever. And you go see it, and you're like, this is crazy. This is a, and then. They will do this to us several more times where you're like, this isn't a sequel to the previous movie, but it's fun and has some of the similar vibes and some of the same characters. So I'm fucking here for it.
It was like kind of like hooked in because Brian was like a fired LAPD officer who then went to Florida to drive. Like, why was his car like an English car? It was on the wrong, he was sitting on the wrong side.
He was driving like a British street racing car.
I was like, what is happening? This is so wild. Also, I was like, is it like brought to you by Mitsubishi? Because they had a Mitsubishi Eclipse and a Mitsubishi Lancer. I think it's an Evolution. No, I don't remember. But it was two Mitsubishis. I was like, what's going on?
It's also brought to you by Pepsi, too. When Homeboy goes directly into a Pepsi billboard that doesn't get damaged at all. Like, everything is crashing and burning around it. But
it's
Pepsi
like,
billboard
Pepsi,
is-
drink it.
Please.
Are you talking about the dude from Barbershop? Who?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like the aesthetic of this movie is just like, it feels very 2000. I was a sophomore in college or going into my junior year. It feels very 2003.
Dude, the Universal logo that it opens, the Universal logo transition that it does, like, and it becomes like a tire.
I loved
it's the most early aughts shit of all time.
And also kind of the Fight Club inspired, we're going to go inside something with a CG sort of sequence where they go inside the engines. And
yes,
it's this fucking,
I was about to say the same.
This PlayStation 2 era, like, cutscene level of CG, it, like, looks so shitty in 2021.
And also, who wants to see the inside of, like, not even, like, you don't even see the engine. You see, like, the inside of, like, the circuit board. You see,
everyone's favorite part, whenever you watch Formula One racing, there's always a little thing in the corner that's a zoomed in x-ray of the circuits working, because that's what people really want to see when cars are driving fast. Well, I'm holding a barbecue lighter talking.
I love it. It's alpha. I feel like that's how you're dictating. Wait, did all three of you see it in theaters?
No, I didn't.
I did not see it in theaters. No,
I did. I remember going to see it at school. I think I was in college.
Gabrus, I know your history with the franchise, but Mitch and Weiger, when did you guys get involved?
I mean, I really probably wasn't even paying attention to the Fast and Furious franchise all that much until Fast 5. And then Fast 5, everyone was just like, you got to see, this is an awesome action movie. And it is just like an awesome action movie that stands on its own. And then I watched some of the rest of the franchise after that. But like, it's all like little chunks. Like, I have not seen all 9 movies. This is one of them. And then I rewatched it for this podcast. But this is one of the ones I'd seen. But I like, I don't, here's my take on the Fast and Furious movies. I think Natalie, my lovely wife, is a huge fan, loves these movies, like could not love them more. Like saw Fast 9, she saw opening day and she was like, I don't care if you can't come with me, I'm going. Like she's that level of fan.
I feel like she gives you that line a lot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Natalie, every time I learn something new about her, I say in my head, why am I friends with Nick when I could be friends with Natalie?
So she loves the movies. And for me, like, I'm in this big action genre of the moment, I'm more in the Mission Impossible camp. Like, I love the Mission Impossible so much. And I think part of it is that...
You don't need to be in a different camp, for God's sake.
But I'm saying, like, in terms of my fandom, like, those are the movies I love. These movies, like, I can appreciate, but I can't latch on them the same way. And I think part of it is, like, everyone in these movies is so cool. Like the equivalent, like who am I supposed to latch on to here? Who's the fucking, there's no dorkwad here. There's no like Simon Pegg character that I could be like, that would be my role on this team. Like the hacker in the Fast and Furious franchise is Ludacris.
Yeah.
Chris Ludacris Bridges.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Tej becomes the greatest, Tej, the guy who just owns a mechanic shop in this movie, is later on the biggest hacker in the world until he meets Ramsey, who's also in the movies and is a bigger hacker in the world.
I mean, humble beginnings from running drag races and jet ski races to being a hacker. That's wild.
This is also, I think this is something that maybe Griffin Newman said, but Wags, we talked about this. It's the craziest franchise where Tyrese then becomes the comedic relief and Ludacris is the straight man. Like that, right? When you see Ludacris, you're like, he's funny. Ludacris is going to be funny. He raps. He's funny when he raps. He's a funny guy. And in the movie, he doesn't joke that much. He's the
Abbot.
He is. He's the Abbot. By the way,
the
way I got into Fast and the Furious is that for maybe my 30th birthday, somewhere around there, or maybe it was actually, I think it was before that. It was my first year living in Palmerston, but the apartment I live at. And
I live.
I think all the listeners understand when this story takes place then, if it's around when you first moved into your apartment.
Look, I lived here with Matt Kowalik, and for my birthday, he bought me Fast Five on DVD. And then
that's nice.
I had like seen the first one in theaters and thought it was like not great. And so it was actually a Blu-ray of Fast Five, and we watched it. And I was like, this fucking rules. This is a great movie. Kowalik, who actually makes an appearance in this movie, we'll talk about it a little later on. But
that's the nicest.
The rat in the rat in the bucket is what I'm talking about. But
your friend who got you a very sweet birthday gift comparing to Vermin.
And a person who none of us know.
No one has any context.
Now you are shit talking him on a different podcast.
Yeah. But okay. I got the Blu-ray of it and I was hooked ever since then. And also I love Mission Impossible, but I love the Fast and Furious franchise.
You're in two camps.
I'm in two camps. It's
greedy.
A movie that they keep reinventing. Vin Diesel is right that he does have a Francis Ford Coppola approach to things. They keep reinventing what these movies are. They're incredible.
Is the first one where he's a producer.
Five is by far the best.
Yes. You were saying that, Gabriel. You were like, five is where it really takes off.
It's hard. I would say takes off, but because it takes off on the backs of the previous four or three of the four movies. So the four movies preceding it do kind of and I can't wait. We're going to get to do this like in live time with you. They've kind of established all the characters, and then five just shoehorns them all into the same movie. Somehow everyone that we meet in these next four movies is in five.
So Lil Bow Wow's gonna come back after three?
No, see, Lil Bow Wow, bummer, no. he turned this down and they were like, well, maybe there's another rapper. Oh shit, how about Chris Ludacris? You know, dude is a fucking mega star, and Bart Shad Moss is over on the side like, oh fuck, I should have just done one more of these.
Wait, was it Ja Rule, right? Ja Rule.
Oh, Ja Rule.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
Ja Rule was in the first one. Yes. And then Ludacris.
It was Ja Rule who turned it down.
Yeah,
but
Ja Rule.
Lil Bow Wow's in the third one?
The third one.
Lil Bow Wow was in three. Ja Rule was offered $500,000 to do this movie. And he said no.
This is nuts. Yeah. All these people getting thrown so much cash and they're like, no, I have integrity. Well, bitch, give me $500,000 and I'll suck a dick anywhere.
Here's what Ja Rule was offered, $500,000 for the role, which was more than what he had been paid to appear in The Fast and the Furious, $15,000. So he got offered $500,000. According to Singleton, Ja got too big for himself. He turned it down. He turned down $500,000. He was acting like he was too big to be in the sequel.
He was like, just you guys wait, I'm going to bring you a festival. Wait, was that Ja Rule?
Yeah.
Yes. Fire.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, I got to start planning for that festival.
To be fair, Ja Rule might have been too big at this, like literally at the one time they asked him about this to do this movie, he might have actually been too big briefly. Like $500,000, there's probably a period in Ja Rule's life where it was like, wait, it's 3 months work? No thanks. But I don't think Ja Rule foresaw the future for, I mean, right. He was like, we got to get people to an island and give them sliced bread.
Well, I'll say this much, that like, if he ate into like Ludacris or Tyrese's time, I wouldn't want him there anyways. Because Tyrese is, like we said, a great actor, and Ludacris is great in his role too. So I sorry, Ja Rule, you fucked up. I mean, maybe you'll get brought back in 10 or 11 or whatever, but you fucked up big time.
I think he fucked up real quick. Up. Let's not fuck up and take a break.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, so we have a little news segment called the Toretto Gazzetto. So Vin Diesel discusses Dwayne The Rock Johnson and friendship with Paul Walker in recent cover story. So in Men's Health In a Men's Health interview, Diesel discussed his friendship with Walker. The pair used to play World of Warcraft on the Fast and Furious sets. They played as a team against strangers out in the world. What a treat. And he was like, no one in the world knew they were playing against Dom and Brian. That's my Vin Diesel. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Van Cleef run with Dom and Brian. Oh, a dream come true.
I have no idea what World of Warcraft is. Is that like Dungeons and Dragons?
It kind of is. It's online. Yeah, you play with other people. Video games is one of the few things that I have. And if at some point on the Silver Hand server, I was playing PvP and just getting absolutely shithoused by Paul Walker and Vin Diesel, two fucking studs who are millionaires, like I would just be like, what am I doing? Like,
guess
I
what,
can't
Wags?
Even have that.
Guess what, Wags? You don't got shit. You got nothing, buddy.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
It's true. Fair.
Also, in our little newsletter, he spoke about working with The Rock and cited tough love. He gave him acting advice on set. When asked about the comments, The Rock told The Hollywood Reporter, I laughed and I laughed hard. Wow. He later said, I wish them well on Fast 9 and I wish them the best of luck on Fast 10 and Fast 11 and the rest of the Fast and the Furious movies they do. They'll be without me. Whoa. Wow,
yeah,
I guess
The Rock shouldn't be in these movies. He's so important in Fast 5, but he doesn't. You'll see. He doesn't really. He's like hat on hat in a way.
Right.
He's too skilled, and okay. It's like it feels weird. Well,
truly,
we'll get to it.
In my world, he wasn't in the first one, and then he's in the next one, and then that's it. I truly missed so much in between. I can't believe it.
Just give me the highlights over the last 20 years of these movies.
You know what?
6-1, got it.
I'm 100% Team Diesel in this, in the Rock
of
versus
course.
Diesel. I mean, like, there's
of
no...
Of course.
Yeah, 100% Team Diesel. I mean, Diesel is the reason that these movies work, and The Rock try to do his own thing. I don't want to spoil stuff for you, but Hobbs and Shaw just doesn't hold up to the standard of other Fast and Furious movies. So
yeah, it's missing something.
Yeah.
And it's missing Vin Diesel.
Oh,
I didn't mind Diesel factor. Hobbs and Shaw. But also, I've missed so many of Vin Diesel in the movies. So
yeah. Right.
I was just like, ooh, fun. Vin's just not here for this one.
I may have mentioned this on Star Wars Newcomers, but I had a friend growing up who he had two Star Wars movies on VHS. He had Star Wars, the original, A New Hope, and then Return of the Jedi. So he was missing the middle installment. And so it wasn't until like he was a teenager that he found out that there was a middle movie spanning the gap between these. It just went from the end of Star Wars right to the start of Return of the Jedi.
And
he thought it was just a direct sequel. And it kind of works, actually, if you think about what happens in it. But just like what, like his mind
was
blown.
Hold on a second. And you were the sidekick to this kid.
I mean, for Star Wars, to me, I don't know how anything's a sequel. They're just all fucking in the galaxy and shit. I buy it. I mean, I've seen all of them, and I cannot tell you what happens in them other than there's a lot of space and a man in a black helmet who looks like bubblegum underneath. Truly so wild. So, okay, Too Fast, Too Furious was written by Michael Brandt and Derek Haas. Ooh, like an avocado. Mm. Directed by John Singleton, released June 6, 2003. I gotta say,
what a time.
It is truly a time capsule of the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like a music video that was just like elongated into a movie.
That's what it is, Byer. Mm. It's very MTV music video-esque.
Right.
And in all the angles of it, in like the way they shoot the cars and the way they shoot the ladies and the way they shoot the speakers in the in cars, like all you're right. Oh, Byer, I did not.
Right?
It's very music video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they're going fast and you see like the colors just kind of shaking behind their heads or whatever.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
What is this? Why would I even think that this is fun to look at? Sucks.
It sucks. It sucks in 2021. It's kind of like, this looks a little when they cut to two hoods and the noises are just like, and it's just like two digital images going back and forth. I don't care about that. And the background is just like a tunnel blowing by. Like that stuff I didn't care for. But blowing your fucking car through a boat.
I mean, that was wild. Shit. When Tyrese was like, "You gotta do it," and he was like, "I'm gonna do it," and I was like, "He's gonna do it."
But small potatoes comparatively to where the franchise goes. But yeah, like,
sure,
this is like the big moment at the end of the movie, and any other Fast and the Furious, this is like a guy who just goes off the road and goes into a boat. Like I feel like a side character fucks up and goes into a boat. Like that's not the giant set piece at the end, but this early on, that's what you get basically.
They also do the same stunt twice. So in the drag race, he jumps over the bridge and lands, and everyone's like, "He's a hero." Doo-doo-doo-doo. And then they're like, "I guess we're gonna do it again."
Yes.
Just on a boat?
Well, they got to establish that he's capable of doing it. Technically, him and I forget the actor's name, but Steve Aoki's sister. The
Devin Aoki. Yeah.
Devin Aoki.
Yeah.
Daughter of Rocky Aoki, founder of Benihana.
Hanna's. Yeah. Benihana.
The Wolf of Wall Street guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my God. Anytime she wanted Benihana, she could just go.
That's right.
Anytime.
And now, so it looks anytime like she's not she wants a lot of it. Anything, she can have anything she wants.
I guess so, but Benihana, what a dream. They used women so poorly in this movie. They had Eva Mendes, who is a capable actress, just as like a fucking set piece, as this like damsel in distress, who I was like, I think she's more than capable of like fucking this dude up. And then Suki, Devin Aoki, didn't do anything but drive around in a pink car. That was very cool.
Yeah. they didn't nail the team thing in this. I do know that what's her name? The actress who you just mentioned.
Eva Mendes,
she had a kid and she like quit acting, so I think that's why she hasn't been in any of the sequels, because I think that they maybe would have used her better in some of the newer movies. But you're right. Sure. In this, she's not used great. And Devin Aoki is
the craziest
there.
Thing about her as the character is that she would be undercover and dating Varone in her cover.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But then cheating on Varone with an undercover cop. Like,
yes,
that
huge move. Huge, terrible move.
There's no way that there's no mental justification you could do for that, with the exception of like, she couldn't resist Paul Walker. But in that case, Paul Walker should be like, I'm not going to the fucking club with you. You're fake dating the evil crime boss that we're trying to shut down. This could fuck us
right.
up. He's not going to be there. I don't care if he's not there. Be an undercover cop for one more fucking hour of the movie.
Yeah.
And she's like, but no, it's a female character. So she is defined by the two men she's involved with.
It reminds me, you know, I mentioned the Mission Impossible franchise as well. And the second entry of the Mission Impossible franchise is a similar issue. Tandy Newton, who is the love interest in that movie, is basically is like Eva Mendes, like a great actor who has very little to do. She just exists as like, I'm an undercover op who exists to be honeypotted with this, with the antagonist. And that's basically and then I have a love triangle with the hero, with Tom Cruise. That's my entire role in this movie. So yeah, it's not a super fun role, it seems like.
But as we know, like I said, it's her fault for not coming back for the sequels, but for having a family and not going into the sequels.
Wow, another person missing out on La Familia because of
La Familia.
Can I
just quickly say that?
You cannot quickly say anything.
hold on, I'll get this out of my mouth quickly. Ludacris saying I have a surprise and then putting up the bridge is an insane surprise.
No,
what the fuck shit
friend.
Is that?
That is a bad, dangerous friend. He almost killed all four of his friends.
Insane.
He knew all of them by name.
Orange Julius is the only one who was like, fuck this. And he's the most right in that scenario. His name is Orange Julius in the movie.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
he's
right.
He's wearing all orange and driving
orange. Orange Julius, yeah.
And his fans, I believe, are in orange. I think there were some fans who were wearing the color of the car situation in some of this.
The whole, like, car fan thing is so wild. Just, like, they're hyping him up. They're like, oh, yeah. Like, it's insane.
Yes, it's funny that John Singleton's like, I know that street racing culture because for me it feels completely unbelievable. Like I don't believe
it. No, it seems so. Sure. It seems great. If you're Paul Walker, you slam the brakes and you'd be like, "Hey Tej, what the fuck was that, man? You invite me down to this fucking race, telling me I can win some money, and then you almost fucking kill us all? Jesus, dude! What about Slapjack and Orange Julius?"
Also, it was a lot of money to buy into that race. It was $3,500 that people just had in cash.
Yeah, fucking Paul Walker walks away with $14K. Also, one thing I love about this movie is. The opening scene is that drag race, more or less, this one we're talking about right now. But the lead up to it is Brian racing to get there on time.
Yeah.
And then after this race, he has to race away from the cops also. Uh-huh. So, like, he doesn't get to travel normally to and from the drag race.
It's no, like he's just going up too fast, too furious.
Exactly.
Which, by the way... I kind of like that the movie has a lot of racing. I feel like the racing is basically, it's kind of there in the later movies. Like they'll race
each
other or something.
It's still just cars.
It's just cars. Yeah.
Yes.
But the racing part of it is kind of fun. It's kind of fun that you see some of the, because this is an aspect that is almost completely out of the movies now.
Right.
Fast Night doesn't exist.
I'll also say that, you know, this is a series that has a lot of great titles, but I think this might be the best overall title.
Yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious is great. And, you know, for a time, everyone was having fun with it. They were doing like the, Too Bucket, Too List, you know, like some fake sequel at Too whatever.
It was the colon Electric Boogaloo of their time.
Exactly. Yeah. They were doing that in the mid-2000s for a bit.
Because that was like the go-to joke for a while, too. Terminator 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Right. But it is a great title, and it kind of just sort of establishes, it's not going to be Fast and the Furious colon whatever every time, how sequels are always kind of boringly titled. It'll be whatever. We'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, we'll touch on it with each episode, but the names really do vary wildly from movie to movie. They really play with it.
Yeah, but
for
like,
something
also
that's based
they
on
don't.
Two words.
Like,
yeah,
one
exactly.
is just Fast and Furious.
Yep.
Right.
It's like you just took the away. Okay.
But okay. They Facebooked it.
So yeah, they did. It was the Facebook, and then it became Facebook.
Yep. Yeah. Sean Parker. It's cleaner.
Oh, who's Sean Parker?
It's cooler than $1 million. $1 billion.
He's Justin Sean Timberlake.
He's Justin Timberlake in the movie in the Social Network.
Never seen it. Oh. So
good. I smell a newcomer.
Truly never seen it.
Newcomers.
Is there multiple...
Just the Social Network. Documentary about Instagram.
Where it's 10 episodes of me just watching 10 minutes. So, okay, after he wins this race, he's arrested. He's taken into custody by his former boss from L.A. who now works in Florida. And we never address that. And then he's like, okay, you're going to come undercover again. And he's like, okay, let's do it. I get to choose my own partner, which I thought was insane. I was like, he no longer works for the Bureau.
Well, so, they also go to give him that total Chad, too. And he like fools him with the name of his own pizzeria on the cup or whatever. And you're like,
yeah, that was so
shit.
Weird. I was like, what?
Is Brian's character supposed to be so obviously with it that they're like, give this man whatever he wants? That was so slick. What he just did. And then they go to the fucking demo derby to pick up Roman.
That was literally insane. Also, in our like little synopsis, he is an Argentinian drug lord, and that man is white.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He's very white.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's in Good Will Hunting. He plays a guy from Southie in Good Will Hunting. I'm a Cole Hauser fan. He's a part of the Warner's family. He's like one of his great great grandfathers is Harry Warner or whatever.
Wow.
From Warner Brothers.
Oh,
he's a good actor, but he's not Latino.
He sure is.
No, he's a redhead with freckles.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know what? As another white guy, I give this performance an A+. I think it's fantastic.
That's what we need. More white men approving of other white men doing brown face.
The three of us decided that's not racist.
The three.
Isn't it a kind of funny bit? I do like the bit that Roman lives in a Winnebago because it's like a loophole for house arrest. Yeah. Like, that's a really funny, right. Like, you could just go wherever you want with that argument.
But you, is that real? You can't do that. You can't be like, I live in a Winnebago, no, so I just like pick up and move.
Yeah, it's right outside of the whorehouse that happens to be my current GPS.
I also love the fight they got in. It was like literal, just nobody choreographed it. They were like, just roll around in the dirt for a little bit.
Yeah, if I wanted to apply very good filmmaking to that, be like, you guys have been friends since you were kids. You've been scuff fight, and instead, but it is just like, roll around. We got the shot. Get as dirty as possible for the next shot. When the lieutenant's
dirty.
Like, so you're in? They are so dirty. It's like, and then this is fun. And the fact that they get so dirty is important because in the next scene, Brian Connor looks, or whatever the fuck his name is, Brian looks exactly like every white kid I went to eighth grade with. He's got like long black shorts and the long white Orange County chopper shirt on. And you're like, aren't you an adult man? Why are you dressed like that? It's so fucking comical. And Tyrese is in like overalls with no shirt or some shit like that.
He looks good shirtless.
Well, Brian is Brian looks great too. I mean, they're both good looking guys, but he looks so 2003-ish to me. He's just he's the perfect example of 2003. And I don't want to speak ill of the dead, and I won't, because I think he's the reason that him and Tyrese are the reason this movie works, because this movie kind of this is one of the weaker Fast and the Furious movies, but those two have a great, and Paul Walker is just a lovable guy. He's such a lovable hunk,
right?
You can't help but like the guy. I think he's just such a lovable dude.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, his thing is that gangst, like in the narrative of the movie, like a gang would allow him in, he could be leader, he could be a good cop, bad, he could do all this shit, and you kind of have to believe that most people like him, and you see that like in him, that like, oh yeah, it makes it arguably, I know I was railing against it, but it makes sense. Eva Mendez is like, yeah, I'll blow cover to blow you, dude. Let's go. You know, like, it's like he's so charismatic. You just fall in love with him. And then you're like, and him and Vin Diesel both sort of being so charismatic without actually putting anything out there personality wise or something. It's like they become these sort of blank molds that we project our like love and worship onto. And I think that that's part of the love of the franchise. And that Brian's presence is felt even in the movies that have come out since he's passed. Like he's still a part of the movies in some way. It's so cool. I'm crying. All right, and we're back. We have to take it.
Oh my god, that was so adorable and so sweet.
Nicole, you knew that he had, Paul Walker had died, right? I guess that's not a not a movie thing. It's a real life.
No, that's real life. Yes.
Byers sort of informed on real life. Not fully.
Just a little. I just know a little bit of things here and there. Don't worry about me.
Just a few things, mister.
No, but I knew he passed away, and I know that they used his brother to do some scenes, and then they used like CGI to like use him in the car. I think that's in
Seven.
Yeah. Yes, because that's the next one I saw.
Fuck, the best ending.
It's a good ending. But back to awesome.
I'm really getting,
too fast,
I'm getting
too
like
furious.
Teary-eyed. Let's get this. That's five movies from now, so hold on.
All right. Weiger,
I was just thinking, if Weiger passed away and I gotta use your brother for our podcast, and how much better it would be. It would be like a reverse Paul Walker.
He's too fun. It wouldn't work.
It would be great.
Wait, how old is your brother?
He's too fun. It wouldn't work.
My brother's 4 years older than me, but my brother is like alpha me. He's just like, he's like a cool, charismatic version of me. Like everyone, you know, everyone likes him, and he can hold a conversation. He knows how to maintain eye contact. It's like attributes that I envy. But he like, and Mitch has hung out with him, and Mitch is like, I like him better. And I'm just like, I know, I get it.
Wow. Wait, is he married?
Yeah, he's married. He got two kids.
Great. Back yeah, his, to Too Fast, works. Too Furious.
Too married, two kids. Fuck that. Call me when you're single, Mr. White.
Too
older
bad for
and
my...
cooler?
Oh, no. I was trying to think of a too bad for my... I was going to say two pussies, but I only have one.
Again, I'm sorry for your loss. I know you used to have two.
I used to have two, and I lost one tragically in a car crash when I... drove my car onto a boat. Okay, so listen, this like
two pussies,
this bad
God,
guy.
I'd be doubly confused. I wouldn't know what to do twice over.
Oh no!
Welcome back to Two Pussies, aka Doughboys. Pussy's actually a very strong muscle, motherfucker. So it's
it
a compliment.
Is. But this bad guy, he makes them do like a test to drive for him. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is this? Since when do bad guys do this?
Mm-hmm. Tyrese calls it an audition.
Yeah.
Which is funny. That's an actual, like, they're like, just say test or something. Why would these guys know about auditions? Oh, I guess they're
like,
LA.
Yeah, they know about auditions.
They grew up
Come
in Barstow.
Now.
Right.
So that's when he, like, punches the glass of the car, and I was just like, oh, my God, that's so fucking hot. And then they get to the nightclub, and then this is the rat thing, which I, like, this was intense.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. The dude from Last Man on Earth, the guy who's in everything, that actor, the great
He's
character
on Sons of Anarchy as
Right. Yeah,
he does a shit ton on that. He's so good in so many things.
Yeah.
And his name is, I know this,
Mark
I have,
Boone Jr.
Yes.
Yes.
Mark Boone
also
Jr.
Also with he plays the corrupt partner of then whatever his what then like lieutenant Gordon in Batman Begins. He plays like his partner who's like crooked and Batman interrogates him. Yeah. He's got a great like sort of slime ball vibe.
And also he's basically a Voltron. If me and Gabrus come together and we create him, basically.
That I get because I haven't seen any of the movies you guys reference.
If me and Mitch combined, we'd finally have enough testosterone to be considered sleazy. And this part's crazy when Eva Mendes puts her hands over his mouth. And you're
I
like,
couldn't believe
she's
it.
She's in too deep. Yeah. She's trying to fuck Paul Walker.
But
she's
also,
trying to kill this
she does mom. It like she wasn't sure if it was part of the stage directions. He was like, cover his mouth. And she's like, oh, sure. I'll do that.
Undercover cop, you see.
And the way she does it, she just puts like one hand over the other. And I was like, I don't know, lady. I would gag him with something. I don't know. It just seems so unsure.
I kind of bought it though, because it's like, okay, I have to go. How deep am I going to go? It's like, you know what? It reminded me of Sopranos where. Nicole, you're not going to get this reference, but
nope.
When it reminded me of Sopranos when Big Pussy is undercover and or he's ratting out his friends. And so there's a part where they whack somebody and Big Pussy's like, well, I have to show him part of this, but I'll wait till this guy's dead and then I'll shoot him. You know, it's like the same sort of thing. It's like I have to show that I'm kind of down, but I don't want to do anything too criminal.
Yeah.
Right. OK.
Yeah.
I just heard Big Pussy and I was like, I'm a character on The Sopranos.
Yeah, you were like, Nicole, you're not going to get this reference, but you're going to love it.
You're going to love the name of this character. You're right. I did. So they get the money. They're hired to work for this white man
Varone.
In brown face. So, okay, let's skip. What?
Let's skip ahead a little bit, but, we set up the rivalry here a little bit between them two and the two other guys who almost win the drag race audition to be hired. But then they do get hired because they're actually undercover for the bad guys as testers. Whatever. They're cronies of Verone. It's super complicated.
It's very complicated.
It's too complicated.
And they are granted way too powerful of a role in this movie. They're like, they're doing so much. And I would do it too if you're trying to make them a South American gang and you have Cole Hauser in the lead. I say, yeah, focus on the other guys a little bit.
But no, I agree with you. There's like a scene at the end and like those two, like there's a big getaway scene or whatever at the end, and those two are like in the car, and I'm like, these guys are like still fucking around, like these two fucking dudes are here. It's like any of like the detective scenes too in this movie, where like anytime we cut to a scene where they were talking to the cops, it was just slowed the movie down so much.
Yeah, you're
so
like, we know he's undercover. Just get us the fuck out of here. There's no real stakes. This
Markham,
is the sequel.
But
Markham
we've already
Billings
done this once.
If we didn't have Enrique and Roberto, we wouldn't get that cool scene where one of them gets ejected like a cartoon character from the car.
That is
ejector
great.
Seat is so great. And there's just that the tease good. Of like, hey, do you have any spare nitrous earlier? And we don't know what it's for. Uh-huh. And then we get the reveal. It's so satisfying. I love it.
I missed his light touch on the joke is, in case we got someone we don't want sitting there, if you know what I mean. And he's like, too many eyebrows. And it's like, Paul, drop it. We got it. We know you're selling
he's
it
like,
way
yeah,
too hard.
I'm going to sell it a little harder in this take.
I don't know how it's going to be sideways, and one will be on the door also, because when we shot this scene.
If you were Tyrese, wouldn't you be like, what are you talking about? Like, what the fuck do you mean?
Like, bro, what's going on? What?
You're gonna eject someone?
If you're the other guy, if you're Jimmy, you're like, wait, what do you want me to do to the car, man? Kidding, I got one follow-up. You're not doing that. I'm Jimmy. I'm the tech guy.
Real quick,
yourself.
We have to take another break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month. Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
And we back. Okay, so there's a high-speed chase. Just like it lasts for so long, and there are so many cop cars in a way where I was like, is all of Florida's police after them? And
there's
then they
a
go
lot,
to
a lot of thrilling stuff happens here, because let's talk about this.
Okay.
All the police in Florida are after him. Like Nicole is saying, literally just thousands of police cars and all of them just blowing it under pressure. Every single cop is
just
losing control and crashing.
And then a lady flying the helicopter, she was like, I'm funny.
Yes. I'm the sassy cop watching. I'm the voyeuristic one.
Also, like, why is this... Like, why did he need drivers to go to the house that he has to get money out of the wall? This, it's just such a confusing... The guys who wrote this wrote 310 to Yuma. Like, they wrote, like, a movie that people really like. It's just there's so much shit where you're like...
They wrote the 310 to Yuma remake.
That's, yes, sorry. 310 to Yuma remake.
So,
gamers, get him!
Which I do love, but it is, like, not
full
credit.
Well, I was going to say, people, like, that's, like, critically... kind of critically acclaimed, but
it's
like
a wonderfully scripted movie. Yeah, it's a great story.
It doesn't make any. I don't get the whole plan of this one. I don't understand what fuck is happening.
Now you're talking about the. I don't. This is one of my favorite things about some of these old movies is when you don't know the bad guy's plan or the good guy's plan. Like neither of them makes sense, and you're like, I don't know what the bad guy's doing, but the good guy I think is gonna pretend to be bad and sneak in, or I don't know what the good guy's up to, but the bad guy is gonna drop a nuke, and we can figure that. So the good guy, but this is a movie where you're like, I don't understand either plan, and then when it's revealed what the good guy's plan is, that involves like, all right, Tej, I need you to call in a favor. You got it, bro. What is it? Do you have 1,000 friends that want to commit a felony? Yeah. Trash their cars too. Yeah. For you. Fuck yeah.
I mean, it was insane. So many people. And then also I was like,
yes.
It's a garage. There's a wall and a wall. It's not infinity. There's not a million cars that could come out of a garage.
No. Also, why would these people, why was Barbershop, why was the guy from Barbershop, why was Orange Julius, why were they helping?
Slapjack, Orange Julius, Suki.
All we know about them is that they lost money to these guys anyway. Like, why are they helping out? Like, I feel like you'd get in big trouble, but then also it's revealed that, like, once they're good to go at the end, that those people are released too. It just is so confusing about like who is what is happening or who's in trouble or why they're going to be in trouble.
And also, don't you think it's crazy? Like they know the colors. Like the stunt would be even cooler if all the cars were purple and yellow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like in my head, I was like, oh, it would be an even. I mean, I love that they went multicolored because it just looked great visually. But a bunch of blue and yellow cars would be a cooler stunt because then it would be like harder.
Yeah, because then you'd truly be like, who the fuck is it? But then I loved that Suki and Ludacris were in their cars and then they were in the old muscle cars. I was like, that's very cool. That I like.
Ludacris is this was crazy to me. He was only 26 when they filmed this movie, or maybe even 25.
Really?
Like 25. So fucking young. Wow.
Think about his life at this moment. He's like a big rapper doing this small thing in a movie. Mm-hmm. He has no idea in 10 years he's going to be mostly known as a blockbuster actor and host of Fear Factor. He'll be like, and if you told him then, I'm like, you're going to host Fear Factor, he'd go, the show with that a guy with hair, Joe Rogan, and it's like, oh, and let me tell you where that guy ends up in 10 or 20 years. If you think it's crazy where you go, Tej, wait till you hear where Joe Rogan goes.
It's a great point because, like, when I remember when it was like, oh, Ludacris is in the second, and it was that sort of thing where you're like, oh, like, it's kind of the end of the road for his, like, and so he felt old. He felt like an old rapper at that point that was getting into... He's going to do like movie cameos and stuff and make, you know, have like Too Fast, Too Furious, which by the way, plays in a scene that he's in.
Yeah, they start his playing own that music song. Is right. playing and that rules. That's alpha fucking level shit. Yeah.
And also he's in charge of like racing on land and sea. He's like racing fucking like jet skis and shit. But he's 25. He's fucking 25. He's 20. It made me feel fucking old as shit.
It's a thing you don't want to think about too much, but I will say that is there a move bitch line in this? I feel like there is, right? Doesn't someone say move bitch to him?
Yes. Yeah. Suki says move bitch. Like I thought that was a little nod to
it's a little nod.
Yes.
I liked it. I thought that was fun. I got that one.
I got that one.
I'm sorry. Not to derail us even more, but Nick, you said when we were starting, you were like, there's no video, right? And we were like, no, thank God. And you were like, okay, good, because people roast me for my boxes. I can read what the sign that's labeling your box, and it says Nick's Sports Cards and English Essays.
My parents visited and brought me a box. I don't know why they saved my English essays.
Adorable.
They're going straight in the dumpster once I sort it, but no! Sports cards might have some value.
Let's
read
them.
It's crazy though, because that box is like arguably, if it also had video games and podcasts in it, it would be your personality. It's like, oh, sports cards, yes. I memorized all the statistics for my LA Lakers. And it's like, and English essays, yes, I can pretend to be a human writer and work in Hollywood, America.
I have a question for you. Which is a better Ludacris song? Too Fast, Too Furious, I'm Too Fast for You All, or the Austin Powers one that's like the number one shot. Do you know that one? He has an Austin Powers song.
I don't know.
Does
that one.
He?
Oh, yeah, he certainly does. You never heard it before?
I don't know if I have. I'm sure I have.
It has like the Austin Powers. It's like, did it.
I trust Mitch on all things music. Yeah, all things
I trust
Austin
you
Powers.
On this.
So we're going to. Ludacris being super young in this movie makes sense because he looks fucking hot
as
hell in the
great.
Recent
His
movies.
His skin looks incredible.
Yes. Mm. He's like he's in Fast 9. I saw it in the theaters with Tiff and my lovely wife, Tiffany, she literally just goes, holy shit, he's so hot. And I'm like, he's like statuesque in the new one. He looks fucking amazing.
I can't wait to see it. Well, I mean, I'll see it soon.
Seven weeks from now.
So, yeah, 7 weeks from now, I'll see it, baby. So this movie kind of, like, you know, the climax happens when Brian drives this Camaro onto a yacht, and then he shoots the bad guy, and then Eva Mendez is like, don't get up, and then he gets arrested. And then we find out that Brian and Roman stole money.
This is my favorite part of the movie. They do like a quadruple quadruple cross or whatever, where they go like they say to him, he's like, we got the three bags. He's like, great, you guys are all free. He's like, are you sure? And all my friends, they're all free. And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, good. Then here's three more bags. There's actually six bags. But now that we know you're on, and they're like, oh, cool. And they shakes their hands, they walk away. And like the little kids that they're supposed to be friends since, they turn the corner and they just both reveal that they stole money separately. Yes. And that's like such a cute fucking, and even Roman's line, he literally laughs through it like a little kid. He's like, Brian, we've got that fucking money. You barely understand him. And you're like, that rules. He's jammed into his pants.
But also, they didn't get far enough away. Somebody heard them. Just like right after Eva Longoria, Eva Mendez is on the yacht. They leave. They barely leave. And he's like, what is she doing here? And I was like, they heard you.
Yeah. Well, right. Also, they definitely heard her from the dock. A boat is like, what's the fucking boat walls made out of? He's banging her out. The dock is fucking rocking back.
My thought is, why did the turning in the three bags of cash is like the least Fast and Furious shit I've ever seen in my life. Why, like, they should have gotten away with those three bags of cash. That's what Fast and the Furious is about. He just turns them in, and then they try to steal some in their pants? That's fucking...
I assume there was, like, an element of Paul Walker, like Tyrese is, like, trying to go straight, right? And or at least is just trying to, you know, he's under house arrest. He doesn't want to go back in the slammer. And then Paul Walker's character, it was a former cop. I bought it. I bought that they would be like, okay, we'll semi-comply, or at least we'll give the appearances of compliance. Yeah. We're not going to, like, make a break for it. We're just going to skim a little off the top.
No, Mitch, you're too heavily weighing movies that came after this that kind of established the weird Robin Hood part of the movies that come in later, where it's like, and that money has been redistributed to the people of the Dominican Republic or whatever, that, you know, like that's shit that happens in later movies, but that's not in the DNA yet. This is still like we need them to be good guys. It's still old Hollywood, bad old Hollywood of like, they need to be good guys. We need to root for them in three when we recast them all with Asian people.
We need to show how good they are by showing how cooperative they are with the police.
Yes. Who, of course, are the best arbiters of who is good and who is bad.
Markham, who's like trying to arrest them. It's that that stuff is still so weird. I don't know why those people would help him. I guess it is just fucking over the cops, which is the plus side to them helping him out. But like Ludacris is even talking to him over the walkie-talkie after he gets arrested. It's like such, it's just,
wait,
it's
he's
such
literally like, Brian, you owe me. And he's like, wait, you're working with Brian? He's like, I mean, cover story.
But Brian's also on the cop side. There's so much confusion with that shit.
It's a lot of confusion.
It's fucking, it's, that is the worst part of the movie.
It leans into it enough that they're like, yeah, we know it's muddied and confusing, but cute colors, cars going everywhere, now we're on the boat, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of just roll with it. We literally were able to talk through, like, the plot of this movie in 6 seconds. Like, the other 59 minutes were dedicated to just bullshitting, because the plot in this movie is they drive here, they drive there, they drive there, and they drive there, and the last there is a boat.
You know what?
It's a 108-minute movie that feels too long.
It's way too long. And then also they recap everything with computer anime. They do a computer animated recap at the end of the movie, which is it
looks like shit.
It looks like absolute shit.
Yeah.
The plot is awful, but I do think it works as kind of a friendship movie because Tyrese and Paul Walker are so believable as two likable nice guys, you know what I mean? Like they're likable dudes.
Now via Paul Walker, we now love both Tyrese and Dom Toretto, who are now in the movies together without Paul. But Paul is the linking factor between them, despite Vin being the linking factor between the whole movie. But we're building on that, and not a lot of movies get a chance to do this. Like it's like you were saying, Nick. It's sort of like the proto cinematic universe because they don't know they're doing it, but they're making, this is Thor, and now they're going to make fucking Doctor Strange, and Fast Five is going to be their Avengers without it being fucking whack. I mean, it'll be as as weirdly asexual as the Avengers. Oh, wait, that was something. I meant to talk to you about this in every movie, Byer, so I'm glad I accidentally.
Okay.
How did you feel about the sort of sexiness or sexuality of this movie? Because as we were saying, the Fast movies have a weird sort of aggressive PG-13 sexuality to them.
It is like, guys, we're gonna be a little sexy, but not too much. Tee hee hee, better close that door. Yeah, because like Eva Mendes
cut off shirts.
Hot. But like, wasn't sexy in the movie. And then Devin Aoki was like vaguely sexy with like a short skirt, but like nobody's overtly sexy.
No,
and then there was no sex.
Nope.
No sex at all.
At all. I was
MTV was mentioned earlier, and it's like it's kind of like the spring break MTV sort of approach of like here's an establishing shot where we've got a few women in bikinis, and then we're just gonna get to business. You know, that's
literally we're
gonna
cut to an establishing shot of ladies in bikinis, and then zoom in to a white guy in a too big T-shirt and sunglasses. Literally, you're right, Nick. It's the exact editing style of this movie.
I you know what I wanted more of? I wanted more of that old Italian man who they race against and get his cars. They race against that Italian guy who they're in a competition with to get the job from Kohlhauser with this Italian guy, and then he comes back later and they race him for his cars. He also just seems like a nice guy. He doesn't seem like a bad guy. They race him.
Plays chicken with him. He said it's such a dick move.
Yeah, that was pretty rude.
Paul Walker is a fucking crazy. He's gonna run him down.
Their names are Darden and Corpy.
I like Darden and Corpy. They stand out for how old and strange they are. Like, they don't fit in this universe.
Right.
But he is, like, sort of in, like, a muscle tee, too. Like, he still has to be cool Miami. And it's funny. You're right. He is, like, he's, like, a friend's, like, a dad's friend who's an actor. He's, like, he wants to be in the movie. It's, like, well, play the Italian driving guy.
Bring him. Yeah, it feels like maybe he was a stunt guy or something. Bring him back.
Ooh,
bring
probably.
Back Eva Mendes and bring back Kohlhauser. And make them white this time. But bring them all back.
Yeah, dust them off and let them be white.
Varone, what happened to you? No, it's Varin now.
I like how you characterized them as old fucks, Mitch. I just looked up one of the actors was 34 when this movie was made.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oof. I was 34 when I saw this movie.
Sorry. Well, we would look old in Fast and the Furious now, Nick, if you or I were
it's
in
true.
It.
It's true.
Yeah, the guys in it are 10 years older than me, and they all look younger than I do.
Well, when you got money and a fucking facialist, you'll look great.
Oh, we know.
When
look
the cars-
at you, girl. No, you when have a very extremely beautiful professional makeup on right now. But it's funny to say, like, I have a professional glam squad. Like,
when the cars are revving, you see me put my seatbelt extender on in the fucking race scenes.
Yeah, my dropped car is just scraping the entire drive. I'm just stuck on going up the drawbridge.
Truly, if the three of us were in a car, it would just be like, too slow, too sad. Just scraping. Oh my god. Oh, how depressing.
Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you 11 people over? It's only three of you? Oh Christ. Continue on. We're using all the seatbelts somehow.
We're using all the seatbelts.
Oh, you best put your seatbelt. Buyer, you called it out before when Roman and Brian use one too many back and forths on every kind of like bit interaction, like, uh-huh. And it's always too brief. This when they're driving to hit the boat, they do go, "All right, you crazy!" He's like, "Strap
you're
up,
do
seatbelt. You're gonna do it. I'm gonna do it."
And they were like, "Put it all in the movie. All of it goes in." Right. Don't cut a thing.
Yeah. It's so long. It's so funny. It's like, they're going 100 miles an hour on a dirt road aiming for a moving boat. It's like, all right, we're settled. Put the fucking seatbelt on. We're going, bro.
That by the way, just the weird electric hooks that they shoot into the car are like these weird.
Yeah, and that's never
anachronistic.
Addressed.
Yeah, it's so they feel like future hooks that like fuck up future cars. Hooks. Maybe they exist. I don't know if they do exist, but
do not think they do. I think it's a completely made up thing that they don't ever explain. It's just like, let me hang out of the car and rip it out of my car and throw it into a cop car, and then that cop car can't go no more.
In Fast Six, they do. They do bring back the British squad has the little EMPs that land on the hood and shut the computers off.
Oh.
So they bring the tech back, but it's slicker and looks way less like Emperor Palpatine's lightning.
I get that reference.
Yes!
There you go.
Holy shit.
I do, because right I remember that.
Speaking of references, how do you like them? How about them apples? How do you like them apples? Right? Doesn't Tyrese say it? He's like, how do you like
that,
those apples?
But that phrase existed. That's
yeah.
Not,
oh,
that's
well,
a
what
phrase.
The fuck?
Goodwill never Hunting heard came that out. Phrase?
The Goodwill Hunting came out a few years before it made it famous. No,
I think it was well known before then.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off! This is bullshit.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah, I think that's a thing people
Mitch,
said.
Are you trying to say like Cole Hauser, who has worked on Good Will Hunting,
yeah,
was there for the filming of that scene? Was like, and then went over and told Roman to say Tyrese to say that in this movie.
You're it's thinking, a nod. It's a little. Nod. I think it's a nod.
He pitched an all for another actor.
If I can quote IMDb. 0 out of 4 find that interesting.
Well, this is interesting. Critically, the film was not well received. It currently has a 36% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And a critic from the Kansas City Star said, just because you give an old car a new paint job doesn't mean it runs better. Wow.
Jesus.
Wow. Salty.
You hit the car analogy better than the franchise itself, arguably.
Salty.
A little bit of trivia. I'll throw out a little trivia while you hold on to that thought, Byer. So much neon lighting was used in the cars that they had to have a technical specialist on set who specializes exclusively in shooting neon on film.
Wow.
Wow. How do you find that person?
Ronnie got his like second month of work ever in life. Holy shit, I haven't worked since Tron.
So this was number one at the box office. It earned 50 mm-hmm. million during its opening weekend. And it, oh my God, it earned $236 million worldwide.
A success. A big success.
Yeah. That's huge.
And right. Singleton doesn't direct a ton after this. And he's
he does Four Brothers next, which rules also.
Yeah, but why didn't Singleton direct more after that? I mean, it just is a sign of Hollywood.
Maybe
being
he
bad,
was sleepy.
He could have, you know what? Or maybe he got a, maybe it was about the family. Maybe it was a familial
spend time
thing.
With the family.
It could have, but I don't know why he didn't do more stuff after like Four Brothers and stuff. I know he did some TV. I think maybe that's where.
And then I think he like is like a creator or EP on Snowfall, that FX show that people think.
Also, 50 Cent was considered for the part, later taken by Tyrese. Imagine 50 Cent as Roman Pierce.
Oh, no, man.
Wow.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Let's remember this after, like, the sixth movie. Let's and imagine if it was 50 Cent in this last movie, what that would be like. Because it doesn't vibe for me. I like Tyrese way too much.
Give me that baby boy. Yeah. Give me that womb. It's a nice warm womb. I want the baby boy. I love
the
baby
warm
boy.
Womb, baby. Give me that warm womb.
One day I'll get that reference. One day. Well, we've come to the end. Mitch, Liger, what would you like to promote?
Check out The Doughboys, a podcast about chain restaurants. You've both been on it. It's me and Mitch at Doughboys Pod on Twitter, Doughboys Podcast on Instagram. And check out Mitch's movie.
Yeah, check out The Tomorrow War on Amazon Prime. And check out Baby Boy. It's a fun movie where you see an adult man in a womb. And it's we were talking about it a bit beforehand, but you should watch it.
It's like, and also you get why like Tyrese should be a star.
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
Tyrese's first role, I think.
It's just like all first right. movie role or first big movie role, at least. Yeah,
he's really
he
great.
Fucking
in it.
Knocks it out of the park.
Right. Also, a nice tune, Joe Budden's "Pump It Up" is in. You should give that a listen. It's featured
that
in Too
I've
Fast,
heard.
Too Furious.
Yeah, that
that one that I know. That's in the rotation. Well, we don't have any reviews yet, but if you write us reviews, because we'll pick some, just write.
Write us reviews way, so we have some way to interact with you guys, okay? You want us to interact with you?
Yeah.
Write a review.
Yeah, we'll fucking talk to you. It'll be great.
We'll say your dumb handle out loud. How fun will that be?
How fucking you'll cream fun. Your jeans. You'll be so excited.
Creamed jeans all around, mamacita.
You sound like a mafia guy threatening someone with writing in, Gabers. It's insane. No, go ahead, write in. You should write into the show.
No. Come, have a seat. No. We're all friends here at this room. Nah, come sit down. You're invited to be on Newcomers with us.
Well, we'll be back next week with The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Does it take place in Tokyo?
Mostly.
Ooh, she's going on a trip. Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.